I'm Tommy Gimler. Mets fans edged out Phillies fans as the most grammatically incorrect fans in all of baseball. The good news? You guessed it. You're still more likely to get gonorrhea from a skank in Philly than in Queens.
I'm Andy Ostroff, and it's all about the kettlebells, baby. Rap mogul and draft day star Sean Puff Daddy Combs, or P. Diddy
draft
Combs,
star,
or whatever the
yeah.
fuck you want to call him, was arrested earlier this week at UCLA for striking the strength and conditioning coach and then swinging a kettlebell and an intern named Steve. Time to get out that checkbook.
And I'm T'Shawn Phillips, and I speak Spanish better than Tiger Woods plays golf these days. Olay.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
All right, guys. Olay, right. I like that.
Olay. For the record, the intern was not named Steve, but nobody cares. He's an intern.
No. There's going to be a Cato Kalen that comes out of this.
Oh, yeah?
I think this is
going to be
dragged
out. Is that just the Homer and you talking? Because he's from Wisconsin?
Cato Kalen is, yeah.
Yeah, he is. I once saw Cato Kalen at open mic, and we talked about Marquette basketball for a while. Very nice guy. Really nice guy.
I did a show at the Improv that he opened. Like, I actually played on stage while the people were being seated.
Yeah, Cato
and then
he was
the MC. He was terrible.
Oh, he's awesome.
But real nice guy. Real nice guy.
Nice guy. Great actor, though.
Tremendous. He actually was really pissed that Rob Lowe got the role of Liberace's face doctor, his plastic surgeon.
Oh, yeah?
In that HBO movie.
Yeah, I don't even know what that word is. Behind the what?
Candelabra.
Is that really what it was?
Yeah,
what does it mean?
Candelabra. It's
could
like
be
a chandelier type
it
thing.
It could be Spanish.
I thought it was, yeah, some kind of homosexual.
It's a fancier nightlight.
Kind of innuendo. Guys, just got back from Vegas. We're gonna jump right into the hot mess. We're going to talk about the U.S. Open. Before we talk about what is arguably one of the biggest choke jobs in U.S. Open, if not major golf history, obviously referring to Dustin Johnson's three-putt, there was a bet. Now, close your eyes and think about this. Before the tournament even started on Thursday, you could have made a bet at Caesars Palace plus 120 for Tiger Woods to make the cut. Not
wow.
to win the tournament, just to make the cut, plus 120. If I would have seen that, I would have taken it. Right? Because, I mean, how many guys make the cut?
Right. Yeah, no, for
half?
Real. Yeah, it's been a long time.
What would you put
2008.
Down?
I would have put down $100 to win 120.
There you go.
I would have lost $100.
I totally would have done that, too. And think about it. Back in the day, Tiger Woods, he probably entered, 14 to 16 tournaments a year. And he was even money to win every tournament he was in.
Yeah. And now he's plus 120 to make the cut.
It's a farce now. I really do feel like I could compete with him.
I agree.
Especially maybe at mini golf.
Speaking Spanish, but
I honestly think
I could probably compete with Tiger Woods at fucking Caro's waitresses, but golf no.
For nailing just non-choice poon.
Yeah. Hey there.
For nailing poon that like my brother-in-law could get.
Yeah.
The hot mess.
Hot mess topic number one, Dustin Johnson's choke job at the U.S. Open. There aren't enough hookers and blow guys to make DJ forget that he blew a shot at the U.S. Open title. Where do you guys think it ranks on the all-time list of choke jobs?
It's pretty intense. I mean,
it's not the biggest choke job because for starters, he was winning with nine holes to play. I think he was up three. He was minus six.
Did he
and the
lose the lead
guy
and
was
come back and get
three.
The lead and then lose
no,
it
so
at the
he,
end?
So he had lost it. By the time he got to hole 12, he was already out of the lead. So that's why I don't think it qualifies as the biggest choke job of all time.
Quite frankly, the ebbs and flow of the scoring at that course where it was just all over the – it made it very exciting to watch from that standpoint.
That course looked like shit. It was just an ugly golf event to watch.
Well, it's so ugly. It was definitely a tough one, and I guess we're getting to Fox's coverage. But like
it was just – they were lying when they said he was on the green.
They were never
on the green. They were like, oh, he's on the browns.
He's always on the browns.
Oh, he's still on the browns.
On
I mean, the
gold.
Fairway is not a lie. Yeah. The tee that's still there, but the green is not green.
Well, I think when we're talking about that, I think how many – who is the one guy? Billy Horschel? Was that his name, Billy Horschel?
Billy Horse's ass.
Yeah, who you might recognize from the phrase, who the fuck is Billy Horschel?
He did win the FedEx Cup last year.
Is that the guy
year,
who kept slamming
really?
Yeah,
is that the guy who kept slamming his putter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or to where whatever
looked,
he was.
To where it looked like he was going to slam his putter. And then he missed another one. He was like waving his.
Yeah, he was all pissed at the way the green but, or the brown was
but
going.
But that way, like, there were a couple of putts. I don't know if I've ever seen.
Fucking DJ's final putts, man. It was about to go in and then just went boop to the left.
But it wasn't like it like hopped like others. There were some putts that they put in slow mo that it's just going, hops up into the air. Now that happens up at Westchester, right? Like we get mad if they air raid greens or if there's like a divot where it's like, oh, where did that little hop come from? But this is not only just a PGA Tour event. This is a major.
Yeah.
And those greens should be tip top.
Here's my feeling.
Those
on
greens
this,
should
though.
Be green.
I mean, color aside, because it's not aesthetically nice to watch. But you know what? I was fine with it. These motherfuckers get so pampered. I'm like, it's about time they fucking. The purpose of the U.S. Open is to reduce the pro golfer to feel like your average motherfucking Joe. That
right.
is the point. They make it so fucking hard. And every year, there's some complaint about some element. The rough's too long. This is too healthy. It's too hot. Bunch of fucking pussies, these guys. And Billy fucking Horschel is like, few athletes deserve the name Queef Smeller. And he is Billy Queef Smeller.
Let's get that down, Rakesh. Let's write that down for Rakesh. Let's get it down. From here on out, Billy Horschel will only be known as Billy. You can call him Billy Queef what?
Smeller.
Queef Smeller. Billy Queef Smeller Horschel. Or just Queef Smeller. That's it.
Well, it goes back to a Syracuse player of yore. But anyway, but like I think that, and that guy is just like, I pointed out he won like the fucking FedEx Cup last year, but who gives a fucking shit? Honestly, that guy's just a big joker. Jack Nicklaus chimed in. He's like, look, guys, fucking play the course. It is the same. This is the point, though. It is the same for everybody.
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't doesn't favor anybody else.
It didn't single out, oh, poor Billy Horschel. You know, I can't really putt on the shitty green. Like, admittedly, like, you guys make fair points, but I just think
the green wasn't green.
Well, and color-wise, it is an inauthentic name for green.
That and who
gray.
Wants to listen to Joe Buck fucking whisper?
Well, I mean,
that was another thing. Like,
fuck that guy. Right.
Like Kurt Menefee and Joe Buck. And one of the biggest things about the criticism I have for that is like if they're going to talk, it's one thing. But they would zoom in on these guys while they're talking. And there's golf going on behind them. I don't want to see them talk.
It was ridiculous that they would take away from the action. And go to like the secondary team.
Kurt, what do you got for him?
Like I'm like I don't know who Brad.
I
Jackson,
didn't really watch much like, of it, but did they have a robot?
No, we did not. What's his name? Cletus? Was Cletus out there?
They had a robot thing that ran in the fairways that they may have abandoned. They may have abandoned earlier in the tournament. Truthfully,
because somebody threatened to bomb the studio.
Well, players were getting pretty pissed at this thing scooting around. I mean, this is typical Fox. In there.
Wait, like, it was a real robot, not an animatronic robot.
It was like, and like, you just scooted around.
Yeah,
like
this was
a remote control car.
This
was the worst sport.
I think Andy was talking about Cletus that they showed.
I was talking about the
back,
robot.
Like, right
I remember when Fox first started broadcasting football, they would have like the robot.
Yeah.
But where the robots used to come, now they have like that robot just stands there and holds the ball and kind of moves around.
Uh-huh.
But remember when Fox first started, the robots would like come out of the scoreboard and like blow each other up, like huge action sequences. It was so stupid.
Jacked up.
Yeah. No, that was kind of well and. For me, I'll forever be scarred from their hockey coverage when they had that for a bit with the glow puck.
The glow puck, but if they hit it fast enough, the glow puck would have a fucking laser tail on it.
Yeah, and it made it. It just made it unbearable.
The glow puck wasn't that bad. It just looked stupid when it was, like, shining through the boards, you know?
I never liked that. Because you just, you know, part of watching hockey is watching the setup. Of
but I can't follow that.
And then it just, like, you're just watching a dot, and then and it lights up.
Like they do a slap. There was a time where I was like, all right, do the slap shot. I want to see it fucking light on fire. You know?
But I think there were actually,
that's
like, a lot of people.
Too many joints deep, Andy. Too many joints.
There were a lot of people who actually like the ball tracker off the tee box. There were some good comments about that. People like it
because
they could actually see it. But
I like K-Zone.
But what I thought was ridiculous is like we went back 20 years with the Fox cameras. Like they couldn't. So you had it on the tee box, and they would cut to their next camera that was on the fairway, and they could never find the ball.
The best part, though.
All I saw was just a fairway, no ball.
They couldn't find anything, man. When Jordan Spieth was giving his his speech, his victory speech at the end, he said something about his father and thanking his father, and they focused in on a man that wasn't his fucking father.
That's good. It was his nephew.
It was a black guy.
The weird black small child in a fedora. Well, speaking of Spieth, though, I think actually...
Spieth-ing of Jordan.
Spieth-ing of. Oh, well played. But I think he's actually... He's among those names that... You really wouldn't know how to say his name. It's kind of like a Brett Favre kind of thing. Unless
Correct.
People were actually saying it.
Who called him this?
It would be like Spieth, right? Like he would
Spieth.
Spieth. Or Spaded. I don't know. Yeah, he would. He'd be German. Yeah.
Fucking, what's his name? Whitlock. Jason Whitlock called him Rare Jordan the other day.
Jordan Spieth.
Rare Jordan.
Yeah, so anyway, I just think it's hilarious. You know,
Jordan Spieth.
I enjoy those names, and I'm like, because I remember the first time seeing his name on a leaderboard.
It's Jordan.
So, I mean, he's just lucky he's a champion. Otherwise, we wouldn't know who the fuck he was either.
Correct. All right, so let's go back to the original question before we move on from golf here. Where does this rank on the all-time list of choke jobs?
Do you have a list in front of you?
No. I don't. So I would just say, let's keep it in golf because there were some. I think way bigger chokes in this. I would say Greg Norman's choke, and I was waiting.
Greg Norman's also on Fox now.
I know. I was waiting for him to say like, now he's going through. You know, I was waiting for him to come up and
he
never did. He never brought it up how hard it is.
That cheeky. Well, I guess he's not cheeky because he's not British. So
well,
cheeky,
Australians were, you know, they all came from British prisoners. So it's
would
close
it be too
enough.
Much to be like, yeah, Payne Stewart's plane choked.
So what was that? Was that? All right.
That's terrible, man.
Probably one
I didn't
of the greatest,
feel good saying it.
One of the greatest of all time is really Jean Vandeveld in the British Open. And where he came in with a 2 or 3 shot lead,
3-stroke lead, at the British Open,
and this isn't like
3 strokes, Andy. This isn't 3 strokes going into the final round. This is 3 strokes going into the final hole of the entire tournament. He's up 3 strokes, and then you tell the story from here.
Well, I mean, he doofs it off the tee. He hits it into something called a barranca over there. Which is water. Which is a ditch.
Baraka, mm-hmm. the energy drink?
And Baraka.
I once tweeted at them like 19 times. They just started. They were replying. And then they stopped.
Hey, we've got somebody. Oh, right. No.
I was like, what happens if you drink 12 of those with vodka? They were like, leave us alone.
All right, John Vandeveld.
Well, Vandeveld, and then
John Valjean.
He just kept. He hits it in, then he tries to hit it out of the barranca with like from within.
So like a sand trap.
Oofs that out. No, it's a. It's
no,
a
it was water.
Water. Yeah.
So, but then from there, then he hit it into the bunker, and all of a sudden,
like, it's just massive numbers of shots happening, and no one was making a play at this point. Mm-hmm. Like none of his rivals were doing anything except he just kept adding up shots.
Well,
and
I think
ultimately he had to make like a 15-footer. Just to make the playoffs.
Just to get to the playoffs. See, that was it. I think everyone else was in because he was – was he the last guy?
The
announcers were just like, what is he doing?
Yeah. This is
we've never seen anything like this. So I think that would qualify.
He got a call from the mob.
But I know like Arnold Palmer blew one way back in the day, but I think
the biggest joke job would be in like the early 90s when Fuzzy Zeller let it slip how racist he was when Tiger won the Masters. He's like, oh, he gets to choose the dinner next year?
He lost Kmart. Kmart was actually a golf sponsor at that point. Fuzzy Zeller lost Kmart.
Probably paid him a lot of money.
He does have a great name, old Fuzzy. But because, you know, here's why this isn't the biggest joke. One, we've talked about it. The greens were not perfect, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, that takes a little of the edge off that. Plus, he hit 2 absolutely spectacular shots to be in play.
To get in that position, yeah.
Like, he crushed a drive, like, 350, and he hits, like, this towering, gorgeous 5-iron into a par 5, and he's just sitting there about 12 feet above the hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as we discussed, right, like, it's sort of – it's more typical him than anything. Like, he has now a legacy of, like – a little easy. He's a bit of a dope.
Well, it goes along with his legacy of breaking up other PGA Tour players' marriages.
Was he in
2 marriages?
Did he?
Well, he allegedly, the rumor was that he had 2 affairs with 2 wives of other PGA Tour players and broke up one of those marriages.
Tell you what, the PGA players may do the best as a universal kind of
like collection of ass
professional like sports group.
Yeah.
They may do the best.
Like, Ricky Fowler.
Like, dude, they got some late. I mean, hey, look, Dustin just bagged Gretzky's daughter. Right.
Which apparently I missed this, and I was looking for it today.
Dustin Johnson?
Minimum of three hours. I looked for it today. Paulina Gretzky, I guess, as she was walking and like consoling him as they were walking, she almost fell out of her shirt.
My
brother-in-law noticed that. That's the shit he catches, and did not send me a video, so I could not confirm it. But apparently,
focusing on the baby that they
No. He does. He hates kids.
Yeah,
even though he has one.
So I don't know. It's hard to put it there. Like you kind of feel bad for him because again, it felt like he really deserved to win this.
I think yes and no, because if you were watching the final nine holes, he missed so many other putts and. It almost shouldn't even been in that situation. And he almost really shouldn't have had a shot because Spieth double bogeyed the 17th. So it shouldn't have even been that close. So I think everything considered, and we can end with it, we can move on by saying that it doesn't rank, I wouldn't even put it in like the top five of golf choke jobs.
No, I think there have been worse. I mean, I just think that, the randomness of the course and the difficulty, like this is, that was a hard course, I relished watching the players struggle at this course. I just think, the crazy elevation changes and everything. And I thought they were very creative in changing different, tee boxes and pin placements. So it was a wacky kind of challenge, and it had a wacky ending.
The hot mess.
The NBA draft is this week, Thursday night. Thursday night.
Right.
Now, my first question for you is, do either of you give a shit about the NBA draft? No. Because they're trying to make it as big of a spectacle as the NFL draft, and it really is not. It really is.
I don't give a shit about the NFL draft. Fuck, they're the most boring things to watch after their award shows. Fuck you.
Except
guys.
The Tim Tebow year, I gotta say.
How many times can you say upside in a span of fucking 3 hours?
The potential.
But
the
also, potential, how many? The best part about the NBA draft is those suits those guys wear. Jesus. They don't know what the how to dress, and some ass clown is like, "Hey, wear this suit with 9 buttons on it."
Well, I'll tell you, this
they
is
are tall, though.
This
they
is the one.
Still,
thing.
They can fit 9 buttons on that torso, but
they
still.
Got those from Thornton Melons, tall and fat. So speaking, the NBA draft, I will give it this: the greatest thing is that these players, the look on their face, their entire lives from the time they're like 10 years old and they're playing their first game of AAU ball. Through their high school, some go to college.
So you're talking about their paid career?
Yeah, so okay. I'm talking about the entire time that they're playing, they watch all these other people around them get paid. And sure, they probably get envelopes of cash from the boosters when they go to their locker after the game. Sure, but I'm talking about like the big time money, the big time pay goes to the AAU coaches. Uh-huh. When college coaches come in and they say, "Hey, I want to take a look at Dustin Johnson," right? Let's say he's a basketball player. Or
he's switching sports. Okay.
Maurice Cheeks. I want to take a look at Maurice Cheeks. Maurice. The coach says, "Yeah,
I want to look at Mateen Cleaves, please."
So the coach will say, the AAU coach will say, "Hey, that sounds great, but it's going to cost you." Sure, you can come watch him, and you can come wine and dine him or whatever, but it's going to cost you.
The AAU coaches also have sneaker deals.
Correct. So all of these coaches around them, all of these people around them have always made money. And I will give it that it is great when you see these guys break down. It is genuine because you know what? Finally, for the first time in their life,
they can pay back those loans they took from their coaches.
That is correct. They are finally getting that money. Outside of that, I could give two shits about the NBA draft because, again, just like the NFL draft, it's a crapshoot. That's all it is. Sometimes the number one pick pans out. Sometimes it doesn't.
They get hurt.
This year, supposedly the number two player in the draft is Kristaps Porzingis, a forward from Latvia. I don't even know
if he's not
going
to get picked
and
number
care.
Two.
Well, don't they even have a couple kids that like skipped college to play in like China or something, and they're now in the draft?
What's his name? He was going to go play for Jerry Brown.
Emmanuel Mudiay.
Mudiay.
So they have the 76ers
I don't think the 76ers should be allowed to get new players.
Chad Ford of ESPN. This is his grade A mock draft. So
what's he have going?
So he has number one, Karl-Anthony Towns. Right, and I don't think anyone can debate that. That's
I just
not
think
happen.
always draft someone with a hyphen in their name is sort of the new modern rule. Always draft someone with a hyphen.
So let it does.
What
Willie
about
Cauley Stein?
Yeah. He wouldn't be a bad. I'm a pro Cauley Stein guy.
I think Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
Yeah. I think the best. Right, yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. I think Anthony Davis is the best pick in recent years. So.
Michael Carter right. Williams. Come on.
Yeah. Ah, hey, there you go. See
hyphen.
God, man, marriages yeah. are really
and he was
struggling
on the Sixers,
over the last
they got
10
rid of
years.
Him they're fucking dumb, right?
Yeah, it was dumb.
Got rookie of the year. Let's trade him.
So, but as we go through these names, like. Is this the worst collection of lottery picks in recent memory? Like,
no, the worst collection of lottery picks in recent memory play for the 76ers.
Joel Embiid? He's not going to play next year either.
No.
But, you know, when I look at these
Noel.
Names.
I love to shit on that guy.
Nerlens Noel.
Emmanuel
yeah,
Mudiay, number
on top
four.
Of his head.
D'Angelo Russell. Now, there I think.
D'Angelo Russell.
I think he's the real deal. Out of all these guys,
I
think
a
lot
guy.
Of people like him.
Yeah, I know. I think he's a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit.
But what's your reasoning behind it?
You met this guy?
I think he's one of those pampered players growing up, and I just don't buy his game. If you saw him, actually, his game did not translate to wins. I'm sorry, it just didn't. Right, like he was not a clutch player. He was really
the only player on that team.
Yeah, that's a bad Ohio, like. There's no reason Ohio State should have had no other players. I'm sorry, like that's a.
Everyone wants to play for
they're
that
still playing,
bottom,
they're still paying Greg Oden somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere that booster contract.
Is it Thad or Tad?
Thad.
That TH?
I think it's Thad.
It's Thad. It's got to be Thad.
That's when I need to hear. It's like speed.
It's so Thad, it's good.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Number five, Mario Hezonja from Croatia,
I
the Orlando Magic.
Love that guy.
Like they have Jahlil Okafor being the sixth pick. The Denver Nuggets taking Justice Winslow. And
wait, who do they have?
Ooh,
they have
I do like Winslow, though.
Why do you like him?
His first name's Justice.
Justice Winslow sounds like a goddamn superhero.
He should be you on like a
Judge
T-Shot
Prince.
Where do they have Tyus Jones?
I can't wait to see like local car commercials
which
with Justice guy? Winslow.
Which,
you want Justice?
Yeah.
Come down. The Michael Carter's.
Michael Carter Williams.
John Elway Toyota is definitely hiring Justice Winslow.
Where do they have? What?
You want Justice? Come on down to John Elway Toyota.
Which D-League team do they have Tyus Jones playing for next year?
I don't know. They
Tyus Jones.
Here's when you know it's a weak draft.
Syracuse. What was that guy? Their point guard, the Canadian.
Enos? Curtis Enos?
Yeah, fucking went and joined the D-League.
This is when you know it's a weak draft.
D-League stars lately.
No, I know.
You know it's a weak draft when a player from University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, is being
where do they have Frank the Tank going?
Where do they have Decker?
Kiefer Sykes. They actually have Decker going 16th overall.
I think he's a good player.
He's no Kiefer Sykes.
I think he's very streaky. He's very streaky, but he's got the tools. I think you get the right coaches around him, and I think he's a coachable
kid. I think
he'll
do all right. Yeah, of course he is.
They have him going to the Celtics, believe it or not. It's 16, huh?
The new Larry Bird.
That's a very white white team already, huh?
Not anymore.
Okay, all right, good talk.
They moved away from that.
By the way, can I just say that my favorite part of this, have you seen the HBO documentary, the Magic and Bird HBO documentary?
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty great, and my favorite part of that documentary is in the beginning, where they're interviewing a guy at the Boston Garden. They're talking about like how sports fans can't white sports fans can't relate to the game anymore because you know there aren't any white guys left in the 80s. And then they interview this dude in the Boston Garden. It's like, what do you think about? He's like, why don't you like basketball anymore? Or something. He goes, yeah, too many black guys. It's like, what?
What year was that?
He said that to a fucking camera.
What year was it?
Like, that's not something you say in your house in South Boston. You don't say that to a camera. It's like, geez, it was like 82. I don't know.
Well, that should right there. That should tell you
79
or 80. Yeah, 79, 80.
So
yeah.
That should tell you all you need to know about the NBA draft. We talked about it for 4 minutes, and already we're talking about a documentary on HBO from the late 70s, early 80s.
But in its defense, it was about basketball.
All right. Moving on here in the hot mess. Perhaps the only thing falling faster than Pablo Sandoval right now is the Confederate flag. Hmm?
Whoa.
Oh, all right, all right.
Amazon, not for sale on Amazon anymore.
No, it is not. You can't even go in the Walmart and get yourself a Confederate flag, like, hot chick, like decal, window decal. They're pulling them from the shelves.
I still got Confederate flag mud flaps on my Scion.
With Yosemite Sam. Get back, y'all.
Back off. Back off.
Pablo Sandoval was benched last week for liking a few Instagram pics during the game, and I'll give you two big reasons why you like them.
Boobies!
So, my question for you guys is, the Red Sox knew the Panda had nothing to offer unless it was a postseason, but this is beyond ridiculous. Is this worse than the whole chicken and beer fiasco a few years ago?
No.
Or is No, this is not.
No.
So, going in, so the story is he goes in, he takes a leak. Before coming back, this is mid-game. Before coming back to the field,
the
he stops by his locker.
Saw him doing it, and they're like, "What the fuck?"
Right? Yeah. The tweet was.
Sandoval's
let me bring it up
creeping
here.
Or something like that.
You know, no, it wasn't. It was from Jared Carabas. Yeah. Not to blow up the dude's spot, but is Pablo Sandoval on Instagram during the game?
Yeah, he didn't blow up the dude's spot. It only got retweeted 462 times.
Yeah, that's
and favorited 576 times.
So, yeah, so you made a great point in your article this week on the Daily Upper Decker. Find it at dailyupperdecker.com. You can find us on Facebook and at Twitter with the handle at Daily Upper Deck. So you wrote the article, and you were like, this isn't just the Red Sox coming down on Pablo Sandoval. This every major league player knows this rule.
It's
you
a
cannot
rule.
Be on a phone 30 minutes before the game. 30 minutes, you go silent. Everything goes silent.
And
it's all
you
for
can't
gambling
get back
reasons
on
and,
until the game is done.
Correct.
Yeah. You can't be on a phone, tablet, desktop.
He's a fucking buffoon, man. Like, I don't even know. Like, I can't believe we adore this guy. Like, this
who adores
guy,
I don't adore him at all.
Like, I saw Pablo Sandoval go 0-for-4 with two errors the other day. I was sitting next to third base at Fenway Park.
But he was, I think.
He made a great play. He cut the ball off from the shortstop. He's quick. Cut the ball from the shortstop and threw it square
He's
over
quick
the
for
first
a fat
baseman's
guy,
head.
Yeah.
He's quick for a fat guy. Yeah,
I could beat him.
He's like, he's not that fat. He's like Khalid El Amin. Remember that guy? Yeah. He got drafted.
Yeah, he was a good player, though.
Tractor Trailer got drafted, and he's dead.
Yeah.
But I think this
baby.
Just goes.
No,
like,
no, we're not.
Big Baby Davis?
This is the problem
Oliver
with the
Miller.
Boston lineup.
Can we still talk about fat guys?
Yeah,
No. I want to talk about Boston because we're going to.
Oh,
we
Jock
talk
Kruk.
About
he was a fat baseball player.
He was. But I'm telling you, this is just, I think, Pablo Sandoval Bambino. going to take a leak, going to the John and take a leak, and then liking Instagram pics is basically it basically just perfectly summarizes who the Boston Red Sox are right now. There's no. What were they called? A bunch of idiots.
Yeah,
a bunch of idiots back in 2004.
Now right? Just a bunch of dudes.
But
on
but
the
they were a team. Like the yeah. Now it's just like Hanley Ramirez is his own guy.
Even
you
at
never
13,
know what
they were
that
a
guy.
Team.
Pablo Sandoval, like he doesn't. Care.
I brought this
like,
up
really
before, man. But there's
anything.
No reason that Hanley Ramirez should be a worse outfielder than Manny Ramirez.
Yes.
Manny Ramirez got in trouble because he was listening to music in the fucking outfield. On his
he went to go take a leak in the scoreboard that time.
Yeah. But at least he didn't check Instagram. He got in trouble because he was – remember the Oakley came out with those like MP3 player headphones?
Uh-huh.
He was just in the outfield like bobbing his head. They're like, oh, what's going on with Manny? He had it for like two games. People were like, what the fuck? He's been listening to music?
Well, he had the heavy dreads, right?
Yeah.
So you couldn't really tell.
No.
Yeah.
Stinky dreads.
That dude,
do you have anything
that
to
dude
say about
that?
I just say,
but he was so locked in as
based
a
on Pablo's habits there, don't touch his phone. Is what I say. Like if he's just grabbing it right after he's taking a big old poop. Or
I bet he doesn't wash his hands. He's like probably
yeah,
Jorge Posada. Just pisses on his hands, toughens them up.
Right.
Well, Jorge Posada and Moises Alou piss on their hands.
I don't want to touch his phone.
I wouldn't touch it either. You know, there was actually a stat. Like it was something like 50 some
stat infection.
No, which is probably what you could get from his phone. But it was something where like. It was like 50 or 60-some percent of cell phones have some kind of fecal matter on them.
Oh, I shit on my phone all the time.
And I don't know.
I use mine to rub my crack.
Hey, if you play me when Words with Friends.
Out of toilet paper again? Jesus.
I play Words with Friends and the shitter constantly.
Literally trivia crack you're playing. That's literally you're playing trivia crack with your phone.
I love Words with Friends.
Moving on here in a hot mess. Final
and
topic here in the hot mess. You guys are going to love this
Poops
one.
Poops with Friends.
The New York Mets fans, grammar. Is worser in quotes than everybody else. Did you guys see this study? So apparently there's a bunch of fucking nerds at a company called Grammarly
Who the fuck has that company, first of all?
Well,
how do you pitch that to someone without getting kicked in the dick?
They are. You know, I bet you they got some kind of government grant to do this shit.
Ugh.
So that's how it started. But they first burst
onto
the scene.
I'll give you $5 million to stay away.
They first burst onto the scene when they told when they came out with their study that said the Washington Redskins, that their fan base had the worst grammar. Spelling, punctuation, and how they
how do you establish?
So
this?
They establish this by going to each team's website and in their news feed, and then they look at the comments in there, right?
I'll tell you this though: people with good grammar don't usually go on the internet to fucking troll shit,
right? Yeah, right. Well, that's why. So did you guys see
educated people don't do that?
So, but did you see who the best fans were? Like the fewest. Grammatical errors?
I did, and I don't remember.
Cleveland.
Really?
The Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, because they don't know how to use a computer.
Right, but
so
that's
don't
what
make
I said.
Any
so they don't have any fans anymore. People have stopped going to the game. Right. So it's like, not as, maybe for like the New York Mets news stories, like there's like 800 comments. And for the Cleveland Indians stories, there are like three. So, you know, there's no errors in those three comments.
They have someone who can proofread them.
Well, I think the
so
biggest.
Caught by Grammarly.
The biggest surprise, the third fewest grammatical errors came from White Sox fans. Have you met a White Sox fan? They're dirty. They're dirty people. They really are. Like, I honestly, what that tells me is that the spell check on, like, the Southside prison, you know, the prison systems works better than anywhere else in the country. I think that if you look at most White Sox fans, like, most of them have a criminal record. Are there any other surprises, gentlemen? Did you even look at this? Did you even look at this chart? Am I the only one?
I looked at it the other day. You wrote an article about it. I was just as bored as the title of Grammarly.
I didn't get past the Mets fans of the Grammarly.
I hate giving any homage or love to anyone who writes any motherfucking comments about this kind of shit on the interweb. That's my feeling
Look,
on this.
Look, these guys at Grammarly.
So basically, you're mad at Grammarly.
The dudes at Grammarly, they are trolling the trolls.
They are.
Yeah, they are.
They are.
Those motherfuckers.
I that does upset me, actually.
All right,
and
guys.
They're doing it with their nose in the air.
Well, there's one way to look at it. I actually thought it was an interesting story. I'm very disappointed.
Fuck you, Tommy.
I'm one of those.
Good grammar.
Fuck you,
Tommy.
But I'm one exclamation of those
sticklers.
Point.
I'm one of the sticklers. Like, I make sure that, like, when I send a text, everything is spelled correctly. If I need a comma in there, I'm doing it. A lot of times, sometimes if it needs to go real quick, I won't capitalize something. But most of the times, I actually take the time to hit shift.
Yeah. I often do. Yeah.
I love grammar and syntax. There's no question. But to gauge it in this way is like, it's somewhat absurd. And like, there's no, what is the margin of difference here?
Now you want to talk about it? Now this is interesting to you? Well, fuck you. We're not talking about it. Moving on.
The pile.
Pile topic number one. Now, you guys, you kind of scoffed at this. I said, Sean, court is in session. Sean Puff Daddy Combs. I actually went online to find out.
Diddy.
No, what do they call him now? And the most recent article I could find that he changed his name back to Puff Daddy.
What a dick.
So some people are calling him Diddy, P. Diddy. But anyway, the rap mogul and draft day star was arrested after swinging a kettlebell at an intern who we're calling Steve, who was trying to stop him from assaulting the UCLA strength and conditioning coach, who was...
That dickhead from the New York Jets that got kicked out of the NFL for trying to trip that dude on the kick return.
Isn't that amazing? It's like how the priest, like, you molest a kid and they're like, no
it's
worries.
Karma,
we'll send you
man.
To another,
I'm glad he got hit. What a
we'll send
dick.
You to another region of the country, right? Another archdiocese. We'll send you there. That's exactly what football is. Like, no worries. You trip a guy on the sidelines, get fired from the NFL, come on over to UCLA. And now that adds a whole nother element.
Yeah, maybe he was being a dick.
Yeah, right?
Free P. Daddy.
So now I don't necessarily trust him. So apparently, do you know the background? Do you guys know the background of the story?
I don't know too much, but I heard that Diddy's kid didn't show up to a few workouts or something, and then they were accusing him of loafing.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, quite frankly, Diddy's kid needs a little more size. He's smaller than Puff Diddy or whatever the fuck his name is.
Puff Daddy. I think it's Sean Puff Daddy Combs now.
I'm looking at, and at least he does spell Sean correctly, which I, God, I makes me like him, I guess, more. But
and Combs. And Combs is spelled correctly.
And Sean Jean.
There is the B in there. The B is silent, but it's in there.
Yeah. But his kid could use a little more. He's smaller
Was him Justin
then,
Combs?
Then P. Diddy. Like, if you look at the photos, the father-son photos, like, they took, they did all, like, I'm just like, no, man. You should not be skipping workouts because you need to bulk up, buddy. Like,
right.
He's like a buck 58.
So do you think that that's the issue here, that he's like, my dad's P. Diddy or Puff Daddy,
yeah,
so I don't have to do it?
I think
so,
that's kind
so
of
this
it.
Is
well, maybe it's
according
like Mike
to
James's plus, kid at fucking plus, Texas Tech.
He
or
did
Craig jump. James. Craig
yep,
James.
Craig James, yeah.
And he did comment. He's like, my dad's always there to bail me out. He's always got my
Did
back.
He really say that?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so apparently what this is what one, like, there are numerous sources who say that this is what happened.
It's also
so,
a video, apparently.
So, what's it? How do you pronounce his name? Sal Alossi?
Yeah.
Alossi. Sal Alossi. So he was, like, just riding Combs the whole time. And then eventually said, get off the field. You know, so he pulled him from the field. So Combs didn't like seeing his kid get berated. So he goes to the locker room. And he entered Alossi's office while Alossi was on the phone, and Alossi asked Combs to wait a moment while he finished the call. Many sources who were in the locker room witnessed an angered Diddy enter Alossi's office, rattling off expletives at the coach. Alossi then instructed interns who were immediately outside his office to alert campus security. A still incensed Diddy then came around Alossi's desk, saying that he would get campus security on Alossi's desk phone. Alossi then, according to witnesses, put up his hand in a non-threatening way and instructed Combs to get his father out of the office. So Combs' kid, hey, get P. Diddy out of here. Diddy then walked into Alossi's hand and told Alossi not to put his hands on him. And then later, the interns came back in. He grabbed the kettlebell, swung the kettlebell, and they're saying that he used force with a deadly weapon
right.
toward the intern, not toward Alossi. So, of course, Puff Daddy's camp comes out today and said, no, everything's bullshit. He was acting in self-defense and trying to protect his kid.
No, I don't buy this. And I'm a little disappointed in the strength and conditioning coach because I feel like he should have been able to stand up to kind of an old-ass P. Diddy.
45.
He should have been able to take care
of
both
like
of them.
Older. He's nearly 50, I think.
Ah!
Yeah, like he should have been able to handle himself, I think, a little better. But, you're going to have a hard time. I don't know if any defense is coming for –
No,
Sean Puff Daddy Combs.
I don't think so. How do you rule?
Even though he spells his name correctly, he's an ass. Guilty,
guilty.
Of throwing kettleballs and being dangerous.
Kettleballs.
All right, moving on here in the pile. Pretty much the entire LSU football team was suspended after they were arrested for felony burglary charges in two separate incidents. It's technically four players, but one of those players was starting quarterback Anthony Jennings. Prosecutor or defense attorney Ostroff, do you have a defense for these guys?
Yeah, man, pay these guys. They went up to steal shit. It's the NCAA's fault. Blame the institution, dude.
Yeah. You know what I always wonder about like when how many kids got rejected from LSU?
0%.
Does anybody get rejected from LSU?
Mean from just general student body?
Right.
You
that,
mean like
that
in-state applicants?
I got rejected. I couldn't get in. Like I had like a 2.8 grade point average in high school,
in-state?
But I didn't do any. Yeah.
In-state?
Yeah.
No one.
They probably don't reject anybody.
Well, because
it would just be heartbreaking
like
that if I got
LSU.
Rejected from the university, but find out that these guys get in.
Well, because they can play football better than
correct. You. So do you have a defense for this? Boy.
Yeah,
this,
I said blame
this is
the institution.
Okay, T-Sean, how do you rule?
NCAA is at fault here. Pay
I
these
mean,
boys.
Did they have weapons in as part of their?
I don't think
burger?
So.
They need to steal weapons, so they can have
they
weapons.
They steal weapons first. It's just a poor burglary.
Weapons? Well, that might show a certain level of cleverness that I'm not giving them credit for. No, I'll rule in their favor. I think pay the athletes.
Yeah.
God, this well is the done. Judge. Les Miles has to get a hold of Judge T-Shawn Phillips.
Oh, yeah, because he doesn't have a judge in his pocket in that state.
You're the kind of judge that they are talking about in that outside the line reports about these Florida and Florida State players who get away with literally murder. They need to judge like
in
you down
this,
there.
In this case, strictly burglary.
I'll tell you what, if this voiceover thing doesn't work out, we're going to get you a judgeship down in like, you know, Biloxi.
Biloxi,
Mississippi.
It's by the water. I like that.
All right, moving on here. Not really an athlete because she's a cheerleader, but formerly the oldest cheerleader in the NFL, Molly Shattuck, pleaded guilty to fourth-degree rape for blowing a 15-year-old classmate of her son's in November. She'll have to register as a sex offender in Delaware for the next 25 years, and she faces up to 15 years in prison. However, by pleading guilty, she had like eight other counts including like a third-degree rape charge, dropped.
On
you have
same,
a defense
same,
for this?
Yeah,
kid.
It's not rape if it's the greatest day of this 15-year-old's life.
It's going to be tough to rule against
she
that.
She just blew him. I mean, come on.
Right.
Well, and she's with his I mean, head. I'm not, like, what do you want me to, like, she's, it feels like she's already, I mean, it feels like she's being penalized already. I mean, I don't know really what to say. I say.
There's got to be enough wrong with you if you want to have sex with a 15-year-old dude.
I say
mean,
let her free if she's got to have all this other shit happen to her. Oh, face is up to 15, so she's not been convicted yet.
No, yeah, sentencing is like in August or something, so. Well,
is that 1 year for every year the boy has been alive?
Oh, my God. That'd be unbelievable.
What a poetic judge.
Oh, yeah. I know. You know, I don't want to try to sway your judgeship. You know, I respect your courtroom for the most part.
I'm very learned about the law.
But, you know, hey, look, when I was 15, I knew not to go to like an adult
I would have
house,
taken
but,
15
my,
years in
jail
to get
mom's
blown
house
by
or,
Molly Shattuck at 15 years old.
You know, I wasn't a good looking kid either, but my buddy's mom was never asking me to go to a vacation house. But if she did ask me to go to a vacation house, I probably would have had a pretty good idea what she wanted to do. And I would have gone.
None
and
of my friends' moms were as hot right? as her.
Yeah. Right. Well, a former cheerleader. Come on.
I mean, she was probably still looking pretty good back then. I did see this story in a photo of her. She looked more like has-been librarian at this point.
Yeah,
she's looking. It's looked,
still
I mean,
somebody's
that doesn't,
fancy.
That doesn't bode well for her because she should try and dial herself up as much as
I'm
possible
super
because
into,
they seem to get lighter sentences.
I'm super into has-been librarian porn, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
All right, one more here in the pile. This is a really serious crime here, probably the most serious we've ever had here on the pile. Syracuse University lacrosse player Brad McKinney was arrested at 3:37 a.m. recently trying to pull up some dude's mailbox from the ground. I guess they actually did pull it up from the ground but then replaced it. So as they're pulling up the mailbox, the police got called. They quickly replaced it by the time police got there. Everyone else ran, but apparently McKinney, I don't know how he made a D1 program, especially one like the one they have at Syracuse. I don't know how he got caught. He had a bottle of Jaeger and a can of Pabst on him at the time. Any defense for him, Ostra?
No, because the second you said he played lacrosse, I knew he was guilty.
that's pretty airtight.
Mr. McKinney, it's good to have people on your side. It's not uncommon, this type of behavior, and really felt like he was slowed down by the booze he was carrying. Otherwise, I figure he would have been pretty quick. I mean, a lacrosse player.
I mean, was the can of Pabst? Let's say it was at 40 ounces?
Yeah, he had a 40-ounce of Pabst in his front pocket and a handle of
a couple pulls left on Jaeger. Yeah. He probably was just contemplating which one he should have dropped. And
can you buy a handle of Jaeger?
I think he was just really upset about the fact that someone else had been getting his mail. So, actually, I'm okay. Brad, you're all right.
The fact that he went to Syracuse has nothing to do with the fact that Brad McKinney just got off scot-free. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the final segment here on the Daily Upper Decker. Make sure you check us out at dailyupperdecker.com, Facebook, and at Twitter with the handle at Daily Upper Deck. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Fact or Fudge.
Fact or Fudge.
Here's the question, gentlemen. Is this the name of a former second-round pick in the NBA draft or a registered sex offender in my hometown of Maquonago, Wisconsin? All right. So, again, this just goes to show we all three of us had said that the NBA draft, who gives a shit? This just goes to show that you guys.
I used to watch it, but now I'm not a teenager.
You know him that night, and you quick analyze who your team picks, and then it's like, good rinse. You know, how many guys, especially in the NBA, how many guys are on the same team 2 years later?
Well, that's true, but I actually think
that night they're on another team. You go to bed, they're on your team. The next night you wake up, and they've already been traded to two
other
teams.
Well, not if you live on the West Coast.
All right.
No, I mean, but what's amazing is the number of, like, second-round guys that linger. You know, whatever their mm-hmm. journey is, you know, they may end up in the D-League. They may end up
go to, like, playing Greece.
Yeah,
just to get
but
some
they come
playing
back.
Time.
They're brava, mm-hmm. and then suddenly they're, like, unbelievably solid role players, or they're, like, I don't know, like, who –
Probably not some of these guys. So
let's jump in.
Fact or fudge. Now, because you're the reigning champion, T-Shawn, you get to go first. Okay.
I like
reigning champion T-Shawn Phillips against Andy Ostroff here. Fact or fudge.
It's a little weird. I used to be the announcer for this game, and now
you're just winning.
I'm the champ.
Right.
I feel like I've come a long way. I'm like a really good second round pick that went to Greece, then China, then the D League, and now look at me now.
You're
I'm
setting
like,
yourself
I'm,
up to lose
like,
right
I'm
now.
Like
you're
Steph Curry.
You're setting yourself up to lose by the fact that the game's not going to happen.
Tyshawn Phillips, is this the name of a former second round pick in the NBA draft or a registered sex offender in my hometown of Maquanago, Wisconsin? Bobby Jones. Bobby Jones.
Can it be both?
I didn't do enough research to know if it was both.
Could be
but
both.
The research I did, he's one or the other.
I will go with...
I'm sure with some of these guys, I'm sure that if you go all the way back to the history of the second round of
well,
the NBA
Bobby
draft,
Jones
some of those guys
like-
are convicted sexual offenders, just probably not in Maquanago, Wisconsin.
Well, that's probably true. Well, I will go with a... I will say NBA and probably both.
That is incorrect.
What?
Bobby Jones is a 72-year-old kid fucker who lives at 401 Lois Street in Maquanago, Wisconsin, 53149.
Are you going to go visit?
And Bobby Jones, what, I thought he was a prominent player in one of those eras when Sacramento was decent.
You know, that was Bobby Jackson. Jones. Bobby Jackson.
All right. What about the guy that really helped the Masters back in the day? Bobby Jones.
Bobby Jones. That was a golfer, but that is not part of the question. I like where your head's at, though. All right. Zero for Tyshawn.
I'm thinking.
Andy
I'm
Ostroff,
thinking.
Your first question is, or your first name, rather. Is this the name of a former second-round pick in the NBA draft or a registered sex offender in my hometown of Maquanago, Wisconsin? Dean Garrett.
I know this one. Fucking layup.
I don't think you know it, but I was going to say NBA.
You're saying NBA?
Yeah.
Why would you say that? It's not like you know you know all the convicted sex offenders in Maquanago. Lay up. I guess I'll go with NBA. Dean Garrett. Tisha, why don't you tell me about Dean Garrett if it was such a layup?
No, I think he. Well, I mean, he got it right. He got okay. it right. And, you know, he had a career average 4.7 a game. Averaged 1.6 rebounds, and he was there at the onset.
And who did
you don't know
for?
Shit about him, but you were actually pretty close. His name is Dean Garrett. He was the 38th overall pick in the 1988 NBA draft, taken by the Phoenix Suns. Garrett was a center from Indiana who averaged 4.8 points and 5 rebounds per game over his six-year NBA career.
I was not good with the rebounds, but I was pretty damn close on the points.
On the points, but it wasn't as much of a layup as you thought. All right, so that means one for Andy, zero for Tyshawn. All right, Tyshawn, here we go. Remember, both of you have a pullout.
All right.
You still have your
pullout. Yeah, remember, that's how I beat you the last time we played and you were pissed.
Is this the name of a former second-round pick in the NBA draft or a registered sex offender in my hometown of Maquanago, Wisconsin? Terrence Wrencher.
Ooh. Wow.
Layup.
Terrence Wrencher sounds like it could also be a sex move on Urban Dictionary.
Look it up. Imagine if it was named for Terrence Wrencher, the second round basketball.
Terrence Wrench.
Named after a convicted sex offender in Maquanago, Wisconsin, and former second round pick of the Sacramento Kings.
I feel like you're trying to rope a dope here. I'm going to go with he's a second round pick.
That is correct. Terrence Wrencher was the 32nd Ooh. Overall pick in the 1995 NBA draft, taken by the Washington Bullets at that time. The Bullets, which was, I think, too accurate of a mascot.
I think they were perfect.
Tough town.
It was cool.
Why the fuck are they the Wizards? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Not a lot of Wizards. Still a lot of Bullets in the nation's capital.
No, there's some Wizards.
Where was he picked from?
Wrencher was a guard from Texas who played just 36 games in his NBA career, averaging just 2.9 points and 1.5 assists per game.
Wow. So, and my logic, incidentally, was Wrencher is a lot like Rancher, and there are a lot of those in Texas.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. This is why you're a two-time defending champion. It just all comes together for you. Andy Ostroff, is this the name of a former second-round pick in the NBA draft or a registered sex offender in my hometown of Maquanago, Wisconsin? Steven Reck.
Oh, man.
Steven Reck?
Reck is W-R-E-C-K-E. Steven Reck.
As in, wreck your young ass.
Yeah, I'm going to go with sex offender.
That is correct. Steven Reck is a 25-year-old dude who lives at 134 Amanda Court in Maquanago.
You know him?
I do not. He was convicted of sexual battery of some kind, but not the good kind. Sexual battery.
Not the good kind.
134,
not
Amanda
Court. Not the kind
Court.
That powers dildos. The other kind of sexual batteries.
That is correct. See? Somebody got it.
I think I may have to cut that out with the clues. I've been too spot on.
Clues. This is like a name of a dude
this
that
is
fucks
your game.
Kids.
This is your game. All right, here we go. T-Shawn. Yes. Is this the name of a former second-round pick in the NBA draft or a registered sex offender in my hometown of Maquanago, Wisconsin?
Layup!
Jason Hart.
Ass fucker.
Jason Hart.
Oh, that's the name of a guy that masturbates on a school bus. Nah.
The NBA. He went to Syracuse.
Damn it. I was hoping I could get that one past you.
No, fuck that shit.
Jason Hart was the 49th overall pick in the 2000 NBA draft taken by the Milwaukee Bucks. Hart was a guard out of Syracuse whose career spanned 9 seasons. However, 3 of those seasons saw Hart play in 10 or fewer games.
Yeah, but he also started a few games. Like, he had an amazing career.
Over 9 years, he averaged 4.8 points and 2.3 assists per game in his career. Yeah. Well, either way, it's not an amazing career, but it's an amazing answer that just seemed to fall into your lap there.
Layup.
So. T-Shawn 2, Andy 2. Here we go. You guys are actually killing it here. You're wrecking it here. Is this the name of a former second-round pick in the NBA draft or a registered sex offender in my hometown of Maquanago, Wisconsin? Kim English.
Sounds
it's a
like
tough
a
one.
Basketball player.
I give you no help on this one.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Kim English was the 44th overall pick in the 2012 NBA draft taken by the Detroit Pistons. English was a shooting guard out of the University of Missouri. English played just one season in the NBA and averaged just under 3 points in just under 10 minutes in 41 games.
And his first language was Portuguese.
Are you sure about that?
Barely sure.
It sounds good. All right, so this is where we're at, right here. T-Shawn, if you get this right, the game continues, and Andy will have a shot to win. If you get it wrong, it is over.
Whoa.
It feels abrupt.
And Andy wins.
Layup.
Feels abrupt.
Is this the name of a former second-round pick in the NBA draft or a registered sex offender in my hometown of Maquanago, Wisconsin? Gerald Matthews.
Ooh.
Gerald Matthews.
Ooh. Does he have a nickname?
Ass fucker
Which
child
college
man.
Did he go to?
That guy fondles. So.
You're going with sex offender?
I am.
That is correct. Gerald Matthews is a 61-year-old kid fucker who lives at 1117 Eastern Trail in Maquanago. He looked like a guy, too, in the picture. Like, you look like the guy. Like, yeah, this is the guy. Like, you know, if you were casting a kid fucker or a pederast for a movie, that would be like the what do they call it? The story art, the storyboard art that you would draw up. We need a guy who looks like this. Yeah. All right. Hey, so congratulations. The game has been prolonged.
To your chagrin, because you'll have to do more editing.
That is correct.
Wait, but if I get this, I win, right?
Correct. So it's not going to be that much editing. If you get this right, you win. If not, we go to a sudden death tiebreaker.
Sudden
Here we go.
Death.
Is this the name of a former second-round pick in the NBA draft or a registered sex offender in my hometown of Maquanago, Wisconsin?
T-shirts throw you with a spoon.
James Winter.
James Winter, NBA.
That is incorrect.
Oh, man. I should have known. No, it's
No, no. Now it goes to sudden death. James Winter is a 58-year-old dude who lives at 139 Lake Street.
It's the biggest
in
choke job since Dustin Judge.
Who was convicted of sexual battery. No word if there was any choking involved. All right, so here it is. This is a tiebreaker, gentlemen. Now, I'm going to give you one name here.
Ooh, do we get to write it down on a secret ballot?
No. First one to blurt it out.
Oh, weird.
We first one, first one to blurt it out. Then, but if you get it wrong, you lose.
What do you mean?
So I'm gonna give you the name. You blurt it out. If you both say sex offender, or if you both say basketball player at the same time,
then we both lose.
Then we'll go on to another one.
Okay.
I've got a couple more names on here. If you yell out like sex offender and he yells out NBA player, then whoever gets it right. Okay, here we
Why
go,
don't
gentlemen.
You just give us like a secret thing, and we just three names, and then we just write down our answers.
All right, how about I give you guys? Show you. How about I give you guys three names? Let's do that. All right, three names. You guys write it down. Here we go.
Don't look at my sheet.
We're gonna go with secret ballot. Yeah, this is much better.
You got much swayed better. That easily?
I think it's much better.
It's
because
this one makes sense.
All right, three names.
I love the blurt out.
Three names, guys. Here we go.
All right.
Again, are these the names of former second-round picks in the NBA draft or registered sex offenders in my hometown of Maquanago, Wisconsin? Here we go.
Don't look at my shit, T-Shirt.
Name one is Dwight Powell. Name two is Chad Long. And name three is Alan Hedman. Dwight Powell, Chad Long, Alan Hedman.
I don't even know what we're doing here.
So you're either right down next to it. Is it an NBA player or is it a sex offender?
Okay, all right.
Or a Russian serial killer. Man, we've had some good ones in here. Or Urban Dictionary sex move. Dwight Powell, Chad Long, Alan Hedman.
Hey, there's a time limit. It's like Jeopardy. Come on, T-shirt. Okay. I'm done with my answers.
I think it's amazing that we are tied at three. I did not expect to go to the tiebreakers. Did not expect it. All right, here we go.
All right.
Gentlemen, Dwight Powell, what do you think? Both of you, what do you think?
I wrote sex-o. NBA.
The correct answer is NBA.
Oh, yes.
No, but hold on. We'll go to the other two. Dwight Powell was the 45th overall pick in last year's NBA draft, taken by the Charlotte Hornets. Powell was a power forward from Stanford who's already played for two other teams, Dallas and Boston. Wow. He averaged 3.1 points and 1.7 boards in 29 games during his rookie campaign.
And he's probably touching someone in the wrong place who's underage right now.
But that can't be proven. Oh. That can't be proven. All right, so Andy has one. What about Chad Long?
I called him a sex offender.
I went NBA.
That is incorrect, T-Shawn. He is a sex offender. Chad Long is a 27-year-old dude who lives at 300 Gibson Street, apartment C in Maquanago. He was convicted of some kind of sexual battery. Ladies and gentlemen, your champion.
Champion. Wait, what was the last one?
For the first time, he was a pederast. The other one was a pederast.
I got
him
all right.
I
got him all right.
That was a three-pointer.
No, but he got all right three too. Right. He got all three right. Ladies
so
and gentlemen,
I scored 5 points.
Your Factor Fudge champion. It's back to the original. Andy Ostroff. Once
fine
again.
Fine match.
I don't know if we want to shake hands after talking about sex offenders, but congratulations.
I did not touch Pablo Sandoval's phone, so.
So it fine. Should be good. Bring it all around.
I didn't
the
just
phone,
I just felt his dung.
That's great. Make sure you check us out, ladies and gentlemen, at dailyupperdecker.com. Find us on Facebook and, of course, on Twitter at dailyupperdeck. We'll be back next week when we cast our Major League Baseball All-Star ballot.
I don't even need to vote.
Cecil Fielder.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.